week. How many came last week to hear what was an amazing message last week? How many heard that last week? How many were here? How many were not here? How many were not here? Okay, how many did that were not here did hear it on the website that were not here? Good for you. God, Mark always does it. Mark, God bless you for doing that. It's there for you to, if you missed the sermon. So last week we taught, and it's there, it's on the website. We did what amounts up to the second message that I've ever preached on being a good steward of your finances. So, and we had some visitors. I wanted to make sure that they knew. I don't preach this all the time. It's 15 years, once every 8 years. But I'm not making a promise that you won't hear that again. You know what I mean? Like, if you think it's going to be another 8 years before you get to hear a message like that, you've lost your mind. You've lost your mind. I will preach that more often, you know, just didn't come up. So here it is. So I want to talk today about stewardship, not just of giving, but good stewardship with respect to our gifts, our talents, certainly your treasure for sure, at least your gifts and your talents. And so I want to begin. I'm going to invite you to John, to the Gospel of John chapter 6. But before we get there, I want to look at Proverbs. Just to kind of set this up a little bit, our study in John chapter 6, I want to read, if I can, if you'll indulge me, Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11, this is a principle, and so we may as well call it principle number one today. We're going to look at several principles, but this is a principle. Here's what God's word says. There's one who scatters and yet increases all the more, and there's one who withholds what is justly due, and yet it results only in want. The generous man will be prosperous, and he who waters will himself be watered. And so I want to give this a basic principle. We should have maybe talked about this last week, This principle that being generous is important, not just in life, but as it respects to the church, being a generous giver. So generous giving, this is the principle. Generous giving leads to abundance. Generous giving leads to abundance. This is just a very broad brushstroke principle. We can apply it to last week as we looked in Philippians, but we ought to apply it again today. Again, not just finances, but the giving of your time, giving of, I don't have time. If you give to the Lord of your time, you'll have more time. A generous giving leads to abundance. So again, I'm going to read this passage again. There's one who scatters. So in other words, they get finances, they get gifts, talents, abilities, they have them, and they scatter them. They scatter them, they give them out. They're conduits. God gives something, and they're a conduit of blessing to others, and they give it, they scatter it. So there's one who scatters and yet increases all the more. Now, that's God's math, that in God's economy, if you give, if you're a person who scatters, and you get things, and then you begin to scatter it and give it, that you'll be blessed all the more. God's word says increases all the more. Well, it doesn't even make sense. How is it giving away? Then you increase just the way God does it, just the way God does it. So there's one who scatters and yet increases all the more, and there's one who withholds what is justly due, and yet it results only in want. So two people, they have the same thing. One gives, so one gets the and gives, is generous with their giving, and God increases for that person. And then there's one who gets the same kind of thing. They get and they hoard, and what does and but they want. They're always wanting. They're always in need. And so there's a principle here, not just of the kind of person that you are, but also the result of the kind of giving and the kind of generosity that you have, both with your time, talent, with all three, with your time, talent, and your treasure. So as you get, you give, and you get and increase more. If you're the kind of person who says, no, this is mine, I can't afford to give any more time, I can't afford to give any more of myself to anything, then you're always going to be wanting for more. So there's a biblical principle here, found here, and I think we could apply it to what we're going to read here in first in the book of John chapter 6. So again, there is one who scatters and yet increases all the more, and there is one who withholds what is justly due, and yet it results only in want. The generous man will be what? Say it together. Prosperous. Say it together. The generous man will be prosperous. So I feel like that word is such a great word. God has it here, but it's been stolen from us from a prosperity gospel. And so then we get scared of using the word prosperous. You know what I'm saying? Because it's been hijacked by people who have abused this principle. But let's not side-skirt the reality. The reality is that God's word says by way of principle in the book of Proverbs that the generous man will be prosperous. There's a principle. If you get and you give, God's going to increase you all the more. If you get and you hoard, God, you're going to be in want. So it's very simple. And so these are timely messages. And now chapter 6, the book of John. I heard a joke. I'm going to share it. Usually my jokes aren't funny. So this one may not be funny. This one may not be funny. I thought it was funny, but you may not like it. So stop me if you've heard it. There's a church, and there's a secretary working at the church, and this man calls. Kelly says I don't tell very good. I don't tell it good, but you be the judge. We'll tell if they laugh. There's a man calls the church, and the secretary picks up the phone, and the man says, kind of rudely, he says, "I want to speak to the main hog at the trough," and. And she's like, "Excuse me?" And he's like, "Yeah, I want to speak to the main hog at the trough." And she says, "Listen, if you're talking about the pastor, I'll be glad for you to talk with the pastor. But the reality is he demands some respect. And he's not the main hog at the trough. He's the pastor." And so he says, "Okay, because I was wanting to give a $10,000 donation to the church." And he says, "Hey, the big piggy has just walked in." You've heard that?
No.
Oh, okay. So that was a good joke. That was a joke. Yeah, that was the joke. The big piggy. So she was disrespectful. See, that's okay. All right. I thought we'd just share a little joke. I heard it. Yeah, that was good. I like it. The punchline wasn't as good. I work on punchlines, Gary. So here's God's word. God's word. So generosity, I want us to point out the first biblical principle, and we found it in Proverbs. Generosity, and generous giving leads to abundance. And if we could just own this principle, then we'd stop talking about tithing and 10%, we'd stop looking at this thing as a law and something that we have to do to check off on the dotted line. We'd look at giving of all our talents and treasure and everything. We'd look at it as an opportunity to invest to get more. And we'd stop looking at it in sort of legalistic terms. I want to look at this wonderful passage. This is the passage you're familiar with, the feeding of the 5,000. And this is a unique passage in that it's the only miracle except for the resurrection of Jesus that's found in every gospel. This is a big one. 5,000 people that Jesus feeds because of a very meager, small, little, insignificant gift. And so this is found in every gospel. This is 5,000 men now. This is the men. So, and you know how less men are faithful to God than women. So you figure it's 5,000 men, probably more than that women, and then children. And so Jesus is really feeding thousands of people. This is just 5,000 men. That are counted here. So this is a big, big crowd. And Jesus, after these things, Jesus went away to the other side of Tiberias, verse 1, to the other side of Galilee or Tiberias. A large crowd following him because they saw the signs which he was performing on those who were sick. Then Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was near, very important, because this is the beginning of Jesus' last year in ministry. And we know that because in the book of John, he talks about Passovers, and Passover happens once a year. And this is the second Passover. The third one is, of course, the next one, which is where he dies, and he's the Passover lamb. Last year of Jesus' ministry. And so now, the feast was at hand. Therefore, verse 5, Jesus, lifting up his eyes and seeing that a large crowd was coming to him, said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these may eat?" This Jesus was saying to test him, for he himself knew what he was intending to do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, for everyone to receive just a little. And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are these for so many people?" And Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, and the number about 5,000. Jesus then took the loaves, and having given thanks, he distributed to those who were seated. Likewise also of the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments so that nothing will be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. Therefore, verse 14, when the people saw the sign which he had performed, they said, "This is truly the prophet who's come into the world." And so let me just pray, and we'll ask God's blessing over the remainder of our time. Lord, we love you, and we just ask that your word would be prevalent here, and we just stand against the enemy who wants to steal our attention right now. Your word is about to speak. And so all the voices out there ought to be silent now. All the voices of fear, despair. Lord, we ask that you'd help to silence those, and your word to be clear, a sounding call to us to be good stewards. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So principle number one, again, generous giving leads to abundance. We have a story here. Jesus feeds 5,000 men. Man, basically, they're looking at all these people, and Jesus asks, "How are we going to feed so many people with the money that we have?" And he was testing. Jesus knew what he was going to do. He knew in advance. I would add here, and just kind of a side note, that God knows everybody in here, the gifts, talents, and abilities that you have, and God knows what he intends to perform in your life. It will just require you giving those gifts and abilities to God. But he's got big, big plans. And so if you're the lad today that's withholding your little barley loaves and your fishes, God's not going to perform a miracle. But if you're the kind of person who God's calling to be an abundant, joyous giver, then you're going to give of the little that you may have, and God knows what he's going to perform. It's going to be an amazing thing. As you said, whoa, I'm not sure that God wants my gift. Let me just read then. This is interesting. Peter, or one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, verse 9, "There's a lad here, just a boy. Very little status in this culture. Just a boy's not anything. And this boy has apparently said," I can imagine here that Andrew is not stealing the boy's food. How many agree that we can imply here that Simon is not like, I see some food and stole it? Probably this, let's imply that this lad saw that he had something that could be used of God and gave it. We can apply that, right? So this lad, this little boy, he's very insignificant, an insignificant person, very little, doesn't have much to offer God, but he has something. He has something, and little is much when God is in it. How many times have we sung that little song? God has something for your little to do, and it's a miraculous thing. And so this is really fun. So here, this lad, he says, here's a lad who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are those for so many people? And this is not a principle, but I'm just sort of spitballing here. I'm talking out loud, rabbit trailing, as I'm famous to do. I can almost hear sort of the discrediting of, I don't know if you hear it this way, but I hear sort of like, what is this little gift for so many people, you know? This is insignificant. This little boy, this is not an answer, but here's a boy that gave something, but what is that for so little people? And so often we don't have a lot and we let people talk us down from giving what we do have to God, and we get talked down and we feel like everybody's talking us down from just doing what we can. So, well, it's not as much as that person. I'm not going to do anything. Do what God's calling you to do. It doesn't have to be much. I mean, don't get talked out of doing something for God. God has something for you, even if it's insignificant. That's why I'm fond, and you know that I like to point out, talking to teenagers and young people here. Young people are the first ones in line. People are going to talk you down. You can't do anything for God. I'm just young. I'm just 10. I'm just 9. I'm just 8 years old. I'm 12. I'm 13. God has something really big to accomplish with you, and your status doesn't really impact how big God can work. So, and I think that's point number one then. Your status is not important when it comes to what God wants to do. Your status is not important. Abundance, joyous giving, number one, it leads to prosperity. Your status is not important. So I don't have a lot of money. I don't have a lot of gifts. I don't have a lot of talents. God's given you something that you can do in the body of this church, in the life of this church. There's a gift, there's an ability that you have, and I don't have much to give. There's something, and God wants to use it. God wants it. God wants it. God wants it so that he can miraculously expand it and do something really awesome with it. But I don't have that much. I don't have that much. It's insignificant. I was reading a commentary this week, and it seems like a lot of the commentaries said the same thing. The fact that these were barley loaves indicates that this person, this young boy, was of poor descent. He did not have a lot. Barley was sort of the poor man's bread. So this barley loaf indicates in the text that this kid didn't have much. He didn't have much. It's just poor bread. It's not much. It's very little. The little 2 fish, which is more like a little hors d'oeuvre, as the particular word that's used here for fish, indicates that this is just a very, very little, of a very, very poor background, and yet God took it and did something miraculous with it. Your status does not important. Indeed. Let us affirm right now, it's just in case that you're missing this, that in Christ, according to Galatians, there's no free and slave and rich and poor. There's not women and men. What there is all of us are the same in Jesus. Okay, there's not status and place and position. God wants to use us all the same. I would argue that this little boy that had very little status, very little by way of anything to offer God, was of everybody there the most blessed, because he saw what he had used by God to accomplish something miraculous. And so, I'm just 13. I don't have a lot to offer. I'm just 10. I'm just 11. I can't be salt and light. I'll wait till I turn 20. I'll wait till after college to be used of God. Listen, God wants to use you right now. And God will use you in powerful ways that will blow the socks off of the church if you'll yield to what God wants you to do. And that's not just kids, that's everybody in this room. Well, I'm too old. I've done my thing. God wants to use you in miraculous ways to bless this church and to expand the kingdom of God. Looking at status, age, what your gifts are is not a way to honor God. Give of everything that you have. God, I believe that you can use it. God, I believe that what I'm giving, even though it's little, I believe that you want it. I believe you have preordained plans for it. I believe that what I'm about to give, you're going to use to honor God in an awesome way. And it's the small mentality that I don't believe God wants to prosper it. God wants to prosper it. We have too small an image and too small a view of God here. God wants to do bigger things. Your status is not important. Generous giving leads to abundance. Number two, your status is not important as a measure for how God is going to use what he uses. There's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves, 2 fish. What are these for so many people? See, it's not the question of what is this little gift. It's a question of what is this little for God? God can do anything with this little. The question's wrong. It's not about, this is so little. No, God, well, that's plenty for God. Oh, yeah, that's plenty for God. And I believe that, I wasn't trying to be deceitful, but this is a message about your talents and your gifts, but it's also about your treasure. And I didn't mean to deceive. There's a fly flying around. God wants your gift and your ability, but let's not kid ourselves. God wants to use your finances. And I believe that your little, God will expand it in miraculous ways to meet our budgetary needs and to meet the needs of this community. I believe that 100%. God will miraculously do it. God will miraculously do it. God seems to honor that kind of thing. I'm going to step into something. I did not get clearance from the elder board. Dale, I'm just going to do it anyway. I'm going to do it anyway. I don't care. So there is a question. I'm going to be honest. Can I be honest? I'm not going to say anything too bad. Okay, Bruce, I promise. It's all good. Don't panic. The elder board gets panicked when I start saying stuff that happens in the elder board. What's he going to say? So the question was, This is fine. So the question is, last year, we made a budget based on X amount of dollars and what our average is for this year. Right? So every week we get X amount of dollars and then we average it to look at what is our weekly giving. Does that make sense? So then what we want is a budget that is the same as the weekly giving. And it was said, well, last year we had, the thing is, last year we had a one-time gift that was what, $10,000? Well, I don't even know what it was, $10,000. And so that kind of inflates. You understand that messes up the numbers a little bit, because if you take that out of it, then our weekly giving is less. So, but my thing is, that gift was not by accident. That gift happened because God was honoring people in this room and honoring the church. And so as people gave little, God began to increase the money. Does that make sense? The money. It doesn't happen. So the way it happens is what, a gift. Okay, because it's not just going to, like, in the computer change numbers and all of a sudden we have no idea how the money got in the bank. Somebody wrote a check and it got deposited. The way God is going to bless is by people and people from outside saying, I feel led. God wants me to do something with this. And we're going to start to give to this church or whatever it is, and we're going to give a one-time gift to do something. That's how God's going to do it. Does that make sense? So God's going to use your little, and God's going to use your much, and God's going to use this, God's going to use that, and the way it's going to happen is through people. That's the way it works. God's going to bless it through people. Even if it's little, God wants... Point number three. So there's this little two fish and two and five little barley loaves, right? Not much. Five little bread, slices of bread, let's say, and some fish. And God begins to do something in the person of Jesus. God begins to bless it and expand it and grow it, right? God begins to expand it, grow it, increase it. This miracle is unbelievable. This miracle is unlike some of the other miracles. Let me just say point number three, God wants to miraculously expand your gift potential. God wants to miraculously expand your gift potential. The book of John is an interesting book. If you've studied the book of John, you are aware that one of the things different about the book of John is the use of the word sign. So there are several signs that John, the author, points to. And he says, and these are sign miracles. They're not just miracles. John calls them sign miracles. So the first one in the book of John was, do you remember what it was? John chapter 2. Anybody? Pop quiz. Anybody? Water into wine. Okay, so water into wine. So that's an amazing miracle. And all these, there are seven sign miracles that we see in the book of John. This is number four. But there are seven, and they all point to Jesus having authority in some way or another. All right, so all of them point to. So what we have in the water turning into wine is God changing water and transforming it into something else. It was water, now it's wine. God has the ability to change things. There's the pool at Bethesda where God heals the man. So God has complete authority over healing. God has the ability with time and space, another miracle, to heal somebody that he's not even near. God is master of time and space and can do things even though he's not present there. God is able to do it. So all these miracles are unique. Well, this sign miracle is unique in that it's the only one where God shows that he has creative ability to take something and make more and create brand new stuff out of nothing. Are you following me? So he's got bread. And he's got fish, and now there's a room full of bread and fish that wasn't there. Where'd it come from? I don't know, but he didn't break it off into the, it's not like it didn't come from here. This amount of mass did not create more mass. All right, so at some point, God made and created more mass and more bread and more fish out of nothing. All right, you following me? So is everybody following this? That's what's unique, one of the unique aspects of this particular miracle. And I think about that, and I think about your gift, and I think, well, it's not much. Well, God wants to expand it into ministry that you've never even seen before, stuff that didn't even exist before. God wants to take your gift, your ability, and expand it in such a way that it's just broad. I mean, this is just miraculous. God wants to, and so I really believe this, God wants to take your willingness to give of your time, talent, and treasure and miraculously expand it into great and bigger things. I believe that 100%. I believe it. God wants to do it in miraculous ways so that people look and say, look, because of what that person did and that sacrifice, because this kid sacrificially gave something. Because of that sacrifice, God honored it. And now, and because of what I'm going to do, I'm going to give something. And I want God to, and I'm just praying, God, this is all that I have. But God, use it in miraculous ways. Miraculously expand that ministry opportunity. Do something really great with it. It's interesting. This wasn't even ministry. Like Jesus, like the people are just following Jesus. Right? People are just following Jesus. He's not preaching. They're just like, oh, that guy heals disease. I want to follow this guy. It's not like he was preaching. Jesus, the ministry here that happened is a result of somebody. In other words, it isn't like people were being healed here. It isn't like people were coming and they were hearing the word. This was a brand new miracle if this person wouldn't have given his bread, it would have never happened, this ministry opportunity. Right? These people wouldn't have eaten. They would have gone back home and eaten at home, which would have been fine. But because this child gave 2 fish and 5 bread, all of a sudden you've got created, there was a created ministry opportunity that was miraculous that wouldn't have happened but for that person's gifts. You don't know what God is going to do with your gift. You don't know what God is going to do with your ability and your talent. You don't know what God is going to do with your time. But maybe you being willing to give of your time, talent, and treasure means that God's going to take that and he's going to create something really awesome that you've never even seen or heard of before. And God's going to use it and expand it. Where ministry opportunity did not exist, all of a sudden there's new ministry opportunity. How cool is that? I mean, I'm pretty pumped about this whole idea. I feel like I'm the only one excited about it in this room. I don't know why. Is anybody else excited about this? That God is able to take my very little insignificant time, talent, and treasure and expand it in a way that God will miraculously take it and do amazing things if I'm only faithful. If I'll take my time, my gift and talent and say, God, it's yours. I'm giving it right back. I'm just a conduit. I'm just a conduit. I'm just a conduit. I'm giving it back. I'm giving it back. It doesn't belong to me anyway. I'm giving it back. I'm not dividing out 10%. I'm just living with an open hand. 10% certainly a good 10% certainly a good place to start, but it's not the end. It's the beginning. It's the beginning of faith. They have the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so that the men sat down, number about 5,000. Jesus then took the loaves, and having given thanks, he distributed to those who were seated, likewise also of the fish as much as they wanted. When they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the leftover fragments so that nothing will be lost. They gathered up and filled 12 baskets with fragments. 12 baskets. I mean, I don't know about you, but I am tired of lack. I am tired of lack. I am ready for a season of no lack. I want a no lack God who's got all the resources of heaven to just pour out on this church and say, oh, you need that? You need another building? No problem. We'll get you another building. Oh, you need this? You need money for youth ministry? We got that? No problem. I'm ready for an expansion of God's grace here so that there is no lack whatsoever. So that at the end of the day, we're like, there's too much. We have too much. What do we do? We got 12 baskets full. Well, you know, it's going to go stale. What are we going to do with it? We got too much to do. And that's the kind of church that we need. Okay. That's the kind of church we need. If we're going to be a church that is expanding the way God is calling us to, and kid you not, we're going to just affirm it again. God does not want this church to be small. No way, Jose. God does not want this church to be small. God wants to expand our territory, and God wants a church that's vibrant and moving forward. So if that's going to happen, we're going to have the kind of church where there's so much abundance, we're like sick of the abundance. God, I mean, we got more money than we know what to do with. We got more resources than we know what to do with. We got more talent, treasure. We got more of everything than we know what to do with. The way that happens is that there's a church willing to give to God of your time, talent, and treasure. And then God will begin to expand that in awesome ways, and next thing you know, we got 12 baskets over here of talent going. We're just overflowing with talent. We got 12 baskets over here of finances. We're just overflowing with finances. We got time, all the time in the world. We got more people donating their time than we know what to do with. Well, just hold on. We don't have ministry. We'll create ministry for you because we have so many resources. We're just starting to figure out ways that we can spend money, time, and treasure. The way that happens, the way we are a church that God honors in that kind of way, is that everybody with your own talent, treasure, ability, time, with all of that, you say, God, I'm just a conduit. I'm just giving it back. I'm just giving it back. That's what needs to happen. And then God's going to look at that and say, I'm going to bless that church. Everybody in that church is giving. Everybody's giving sacrificially. Everybody's doing what I'm calling them to do. I'm going to bless it. Next thing you know, baskets, figurative baskets of blessing over this house, not so that we can consume it, but that we can feed the thousands, not for our own self-interest, but so that we can go out into this community and feed the 10,000s. Who's going to do it? What church in this area is stepping up to the plate? It's interesting. This is not a point, but let me just review. God wants to... generous giving leads to abundance. Your status is not important. Your status is not important. Hear that. God wants to miraculously expand your gift potential. And sometimes the miracle is for ministry. We should seek God in your life. Give of yourself to Him. Sometimes the miracle is for ministry. So sometimes, say, God, I need a miracle in my life. I need something in my life. Then start giving to the Lord and see what He does. And maybe the miracle that you need needs to come through the body of believers that God's put you in. It's interesting. Simon Andrew saw this little gift, these five gifts, the five barley and two fish. And somebody there had enough wisdom to say, hey, you've got five pieces of bread there that God can use, and two of little fish. If we're going to be a healthy church, we need to start plugging people's gifts and abilities, locating them, finding what they are, and putting them to good use. If we're not doing that, we're not doing the job. And so in Sunday school, we're pointing people to how God can use your gift and ability. In church, we're doing that. We want to be creative about finding your gift and ability, your time, your talent, and we want to be creative in finding it, seeing it, spotlighting it, and saying, God can use that. God can use it. We need to encourage people in this room. And I'm talking about all the leadership here, everybody who considers yourself a leader. Your job in children's ministry, your job in youth ministry, your job is to find those kids, to see them and say, look, God can use that. God can use that in your life. God can use that. God can take that gift and ability and use it. You ought to yield to God that and see what God does. That's your job. And our job is to look, say, look, you've got gifts and abilities. God wants to use it. God wants to use it. Yield to God. See what God can accomplish with your little. I promise God wants to use it. Don't be discouraged. It may not be great. It may not be shiny and polished like somebody else's gifts, but it's something and God wants to use it. You don't know what God's going to do with it until you give it. Just give it and see what God does. Maybe what God will do with your little insignificant nothing will be used by God in miraculous way that people will be talking about for generations. We need to encourage that. What's your gifts and abilities? Where can we use it? Where can God use it? Where can God use your gifts and abilities? Because God wants to do something miraculous. Well, I'm too old. Forget about that. God wants to use you in miraculous ways. Well, I'm too young. God wants to use you in miraculous ways. Well, I'm the perfect age, but I don't want to. Get over yourself. God's got a call and a plan for your life. And He wants to use you. I really think that part of the problem in the church is that we're just kind of, I mean, obviously we're playing church. Let's just say that. Playing church. This church is not about Sunday and come to church and being faithful to Sunday. Church is about you being the kind of person that God wants you to be so that you're giving of yourself to the Lord and seeing what God will do and accomplish through you. You're working in conspiracy with God to change this world for His glory. You're conspiring with the God of the universe that He can use me and I'm just a conduit to do whatever He wants me to do. And we just have such a small vision. Well, God can't use me. God wants to use you exactly. As a matter of fact, I think we can argue, and Paul would say, that it's the foolish things of the world that confound the wise. It's the small things that never get noticed that God really wants to use. It's not somebody's big $50,000 gift. That has praise unto itself. It's the little stuff. It's your little energy. It's the little part of you that you're withholding. It's the little gift and ability. It's the little time that you have. That's what God wants to use. That's when God gets creative. And we serve a God who is able to do something really awesome. And He wants to do it in these four walls. And He wants to do it in your life. What will it take? It'll take you being the child of God, the woman, the man of God that God is calling you to be, and to be a joyous giver. And know that when you give of yourself, God expands it. God expands it. And sometimes He does it miraculously. Sometimes God does. But listen, let's make no mistake. The way that we reach this community for Jesus is by us being sacrificial in our time, talent, and treasure. It just is what it is. And if we would do that, God will expand this. God will expand it. God will use it. Next year, this church, September, October of next year, November of next year, will look completely different because God will just start expanding and showing His favor over us. I believe that 100%. We need the favor of God. Out with lack. I'm out with barely making it. I'm so out on business meetings looking at all the dollars and cents and how we got to make sure we're good stewards. I'm like, for how? But we just get so much money. What can we do? We need to pray about how God's going to use this. How's that happened? Be the person God's called you to be. Be the person God's called you to be. Be faithful. Be faithful. God will take your little and make it much. I just believe that. This is not a fairy tale. God will take your little and make it much in Jesus' name for His glory. Do you receive that word this morning? If you do, say amen. Amen. All right. God, we love You today. Lord, maybe there are people in here that are struggling today with doubt, maybe doubt that they have anything that You want. Lord, make it clear in their spirit right now, Spirit of God, that You want them, all of them, that You want every gift and every talent, that You have amazing things that You have planned for them if they would just be willing to be used of You. God, help us to all be there. Help us to commit of ourselves afresh, of our time, talent, and treasure. Lord, help us to be good stewards so that You can take the little that we have and expand it for the glory of God. We stand against right now. We stand against the enemy that would seek to steal the seed that was that was sown today. We stand against the enemy that's going to try to bring out and destroy that soil. In Jesus' name, make the soil of our hearts tender and help it to plant deep in our soul, so that next year at this time, our church is different because we have more committed people, more faithful people, more generous people in the house of God. So God, we speak that over this place. We believe right now that you're going to accomplish it in Jesus' name for your glory, not for our sake, not for our name's sake, not for First United, but Lord, for the glory of God. And so we'll be careful to give you the glory for all that's said and done. Lord, help us to yield in Jesus' name. We repent of our stinginess, of our lack of generosity, of our lack of faith. God, we repent of that. Help us to be a church that's generous towards you. And Lord, the lack that people have right now, God, I pray that you would expand over them, their territories, expand it so that they have no need of anything, that you've filled their needs because of their faithfulness. We pray that in Jesus' name. We love you today. You're a good God. You're worthy of our praise today. We just ask again that the word that was proclaimed today, that your word would go forth and bring forth fruit tenfold and twentyfold and even 100-fold. We ask it now. It's in your name and by your authority. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.